All right. Are we ready?
Yeah, what is this, NPR? Yeah, let's go.
Go, Cox.
Welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right, Movie the Podcast. It is still Jay Lucifer, whatever the hell we're calling this
Jay
month.
Jay Lucifer!
Yeah, and we watched my pick, Enough, and I've had Enough.
I've had enough. We've had enough.
Oh man, you stepped on the joke. I'm sure everyone is going to make a title that never more accurately reflected my feelings about a movie.
Yeah, that's a better. That really is better. It's like Stir Fry.
This movie is wild in like the most boring way possible.
It's like impossibly boring, right? Like,
it's also incredibly weird. It's so fucking weird though, Gogs. Like it is a feat that it's a movie as weird as it is so boring because it's super weird.
Is insane.
The pacing is insane. The weird title cards that never stop. Like the fucking plot is fucking insane. Like
right. The fact that the guy is actually based.
Oh, we'll get into it. The guy is literally based. The Fresh and Fit guys, like, masturbate to this movie. Like, it is fucking hilarious.
Also, the wild card, possibly mobbed up Al Pacino, devil's advocate, Fred Ward dad, out of nowhere.
Yeah, what's Fred Ward doing in this thing? Like, what is happening?
Also, is Fred Ward Hispanic? Like, I felt
no,
like they were...
but he doesn't have to be.
I felt like they were kind of coded him as a Hispanic.
Well, no, because that is
because he's part of organized
Jupiter.
Crime? Is that why?
Nice. Ja-ja-ja-ja-ja-ja.
Fred Ward, ja-ja-ja.
All right. Well, before we get into Enough,
Fred Ward saying, keep
oddly enough, I think we will have a lot to talk about. Like,
oddly enough, better title.
As much as it sucked, it is kind of fascinating. So I
was mesmerized to quote Scott Snyder.
What is you all
trying to say something? Sorry. Go ahead.
I can't wait to hear what that something is. I can't. What did y'all watch this week, Sean?
Oh, that's me. I watched two almost entire television series.
Wow! Look at you.
Yeah. I watched X-Men 1997, which I think is the best Marvel thing made since, I don't know, Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
It's awesome.
It's so fucking good. There's one kind of... Gogs, have you seen all of it? Or any of it?
No.
Gogs?
I've seen...
Gogs, you seen it?
I've seen some of it, but not... I watched the first episode.
I've seen all of it. Yeah.
There's
one filler episode, and even that's kind of just like okay. But everything else is fucking fantastic. They do like a really good job of kind of rewriting the Madeline Pryor thing, which I wish Alec was on here because I know he loves this shit. In the original X-Men canon, Cyclops marries a genetic duplicate of his wife, just thinking it's just some lady who looks exactly like her with no memory. And everybody's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
but in this, she's still a clone, but they swapped her out at some point and nobody knew. So that actually makes a lot more sense. It's like really like the horror stuff in that episode, in the Inferno episode, is actually really good.
Yeah,
like
it's really good.
It's very unsettling. Episode 5, I think, is everybody's favorite. Like the Remember This. The only thing I didn't love is that, man, they crammed about 30 years worth of stories in about 8 episodes. Like that life death
story felt like
where Storm loses their powers and the comics is like 2 trade paperbacks.
they really jammed that storyline into, because they weren't even like they were like the B plot on 2 episodes. Yeah. It's like, they did a great job, but like, yeah, it's, I don't know if that was the
they're
right
getting their
story
shit
to
in.
Kind of throw in there. Yeah, exactly.
And like, Bastion was always kind of like a goofy villain, I thought, because it was that Scott Lobdell era, which kind of sucked, like the kind of pre-Jim Medu era. Yeah,
kind of hit and misses in that era. There's some good stuff, but it's a lot of shit.
Yeah, but I strong recommend. Looking forward to what they do in season 2, and they should just only make cartoons.
I hope they do a
Spider-Man 98 in season 2.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
I said, will they be calling season 2 X-Men 98?
I doubt it.
That's a shame.
Like,
seems like a really easy one.
It is funny, though, because do you remember, TJ, when they tried to do this again in a comic book with Claremont, and it was like, abysmal.
I do. And that comic still had a lot of fan. People like that comic. I don't know why. I read it. I didn't care for it.
Claremont doesn't age well. Like, I love that dude for all the shit that he did growing up. But, man, like, we talked about it, I think, recently. If you go back and read comics that he wrote, they are, like, interminable. Like, there's these, like archaic screeds that they're so hard to read. It's also where I learned the word Gestapo when I was, like, 9 but couldn't pronounce it. Oh, yeah. I think I probably told the story on the show before. And I asked my dad, I was like, what's a Gestapo? He's like, it says Gestapo, you fucking idiot. It's like, I'm an So, and then I wanted.
Well, I didn't know how to pronounce cacophony forever.
That's all right. I mean, I misread. I still misread a million things. But the one that comes to mind is that the comic book artist Jeff Darrow. I used to think his name was Geoff because I wasn't familiar with the British
the
stupid spelling. Yeah.
Well, it fucked me up when I found out he was American. I'm like, there's no need for you to spell your name like that, sir.
Wait, Jeff Darrow is American?
Yes, sir.
I thought he was British.
He's American as my friend Fitzroy here.
That's crazy. I had no idea he was an American.
Yeah, right?
I always assumed he was British because of the
name. And he's got like a very European penciling style. But anyway, I also watched the remake of James Clavell's Shogun. I watched the first
eight episodes.
It is a strong recommend for everybody who grew up watching their dad play Nobunaga's Ambition on the Nintendo and reading like how much rice to give to the peasants out of the manual for him. I don't know that it's a wide recommend.
Oh, it sounds I would love it.
You would love it.
Yeah, that sounds
like
right.
I think you would like it too, because you could take your old man filled with regret out for a walk.
Oh, thank God.
Because he's not in it, but it's the other guy.
It's the other guy that when they can't get Ken Watanabe, they get this other guy.
Yeah, Hiroyuki Sanada, Scorpion, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. I like that.
It's so fucking good. And it, like, I guess there's two language tracks. I guess there's an English dub, which missed me with that. But, like, the whole show is basically in Japanese. Like, except for one guy and, like, a couple other, like,
well, it's sort
various
of,
Europeans.
It's sort of loosely based off, like, the same story Neo is based on, right? Like, it's.
Yeah, it's based off the Sengoku era, like, the pre Nobunaga, like, Tokugawa rebel. Like, God, why do I know all this shit? I'm, like, the worst kind of weeb, like, the historical weeb. Like.
Yeah, that stuff is interesting. And, like, a lot of video games and a lot of, like
all
the anime and stuff.
OE games, which I don't think they make those games anymore, that style.
Mm-hmm.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. They still make those. Okay. They still make the Romancing the Kingdom games. They actually just came out with a Romancing the Kingdom like a couple years ago. I don't think they made any Nobunaga's Ambition games in a while.
But. Remember Kessen, though? That was my first PlayStation 2 game. I fucking love that shit. It is very in the weeds about like Japanese history and culture of that era. So like, if you're not, it's very dry. You know what I mean? Like, it is...
I love that kind of stuff.
People compare it to Game of Thrones a lot, I guess, because there's, like, palace intrigue, but it's really just statecraft, so it's, like, a very loose comparison. I don't think it's very good as a comparison, but the show is...
Sure.
Did they battle any kaiju?
There are no kaiju. Mm-hmm. Or regular Jews. Closest they got is Catholic Portuguese.
Catholic Portuguese eating the town!
Go ahead, Catholic Portuguese, destroy the financial district. Make the people happy. It's excellent, though. If you like a really dry, like, if you're the kind of person that likes Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, but like, but seven times in a row, then yeah, it's for you. It's excellent.
You're telling me that because it got like universal praise, and it's like if it's that kind of niche, I'm surprised that it got such critical acclaim.
I'm surprised too. Maybe like I don't know. I could see why. Well, critics love period pieces though too.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it looks great. Like it's accurate to, you know, my layperson's understanding of Japanese history, but they can't use any of the they don't use any of the actual people, but they're meant to represent people. So if you're familiar with that era at all, you'll kind of pick it out. But strong recommend for TJ.
Like I said, I played
recommendation
I played
for GOGs.
That. And played all the Neo.
Everybody
games.
Else.
I know all the history because of Neo. So I'll just wait for the yokai to show up.
And... yeah. When did the demons get here?
I think this is the
man. Those games are awesome, by the way.
A Matt McCormick select. Like
I'm gonna watch like, it. I've been meaning to watch it, so it's just one of those things.
And you know,
Hulu has fucking ads now, and it really harshes my mellow.
Yeah, and it's like
get rid of them anymore.
You can, but like, man, I'm so tired. I'm already paying so much for everything. It's just
they
like
added
like,
ads to Amazon.
They did a price study for like what it would cost you to see. Like every NFL game, like all the different platforms, and you could get season tickets to the Panthers. Like, why would you want to? But it was comparable.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anything else?
No, that's all I watched. Gobs.
I watched like 7/8 of one thing.
Hell yeah!
Oh my god!
Yeah. Was it on like a Samsung microwave at Home Depot or something?
No, it was on a series of billboards down the highway. I watched.
This is the cyberpunk future that I want to live in.
So I got to one exit too early, so I didn't get to the end of it. I watched this movie, most of this movie, called The Tunnel, which I ended up starting. So I watched something. It was like The Tunnel Beyond Darkness. I was like, okay, what is this? And it's a documentary.
That's my asshole.
It's a documentary about them making the movie The Tunnel. I'm like, what the fuck is – I thought I was watching a horror movie.
Tunnel?
Well, right. It was a crowdsourced Blair Witch, like Australian Blair Witch kind of horror movie.
Double out.
Well, no, hold on.
Don't tell me what I'm out on.
They basically said that it was like they were selling the – they were like trying to like Kickstarter it like $1 a frame basically. And they also simultaneously released it in theaters and on BitTorrent like the same time.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So I actually, now that I've seen most of the movie, I need to finish it. I got to watch the documentary about how they made it. But the movie itself is not, it's like very much in that same vein as like found footage, but like much to my surprise and like what we've talked about in some of these other found footage movies, they actually followed their rules pretty well.
And I say it was like, to your starry-eyed surprise?
I will now. Yeah, it's like I'm going to finish it up and see if it ends good, but the parts, the most of it that I've seen, not bad, like in that found footage horror like vein of like The Descent and – well, I guess The Descent's not found footage, but same kind of vibes.
Not bad with 20 qualifiers, Raves Gogs, movie the podcast.
I mean, that's pretty much my go-to. I can't give anything just an unqualified yay. But that's it, because I feel like we just did the show, because I think we did the show on, like, Tuesday or something. Like, We did it late in last week,
We did it Wednesday. We did Wednesday night.
Yeah, and I had to power through enough, and that was just, like, I had to get very high. Like,
so, I'm going to bring this up. I'm going to bring this up so I don't forget, but I think we had talked about how Netflix added speed controls in their app. Well, apparently...
So I couldn't find them for enough.
No.
Are they there?
You can't, if on the desktop, like on like the, you know, if you watch it on like a Roku or whatever, or PlayStation, those controls aren't there. But if you watch it on your phone, it has David speed Lynch controls. Wants. Yeah. So I watched
that's the move.
So I actually watched enough at 1.5 speed, and it made the movie a lot better.
Didn't have to. TJ, what else did you watch besides enough?
I watched two things, neither one that I really cared for at all. I watched the new, what's this guy's name? He's in, like, every fucking movie now. Glenn Powell. Is that his name, Goggs? He's the guy that
The handsome guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's also in the new Twister. He's in the new
he's
Twister
also, he was
that's
in Top
out.
Gun. He was in, he
he's
was
in,
the,
he's
yeah.
in Top Gun, which I still haven't seen. He was in that like romantic comedy with Sydney Sweeney.
What's her name with the boobs? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god. Those boobs. So it's a new Richard
mental space.
It's a new Richard Linklater movie. It's called Hitman.
I prefer Art Linkletter.
And I mean, Richard Linkletter is a guy that's like very hit or miss with me. Like, I like a lot of his movies, but I don't like a lot of his
I can't think of what's a Richard Linkletter.
Scanner movie? Darkly.
Yep.
I love that movie. That's a good movie.
His best movie.
It's a good movie. Boyhood.
Waking Great Life movie. Has its moments.
Waking Life.
I like it.
I like it.
Fast Food Nation, the movie that tricked TJ.
Yeah, Fast Food. No, it was.
That tricked me.
Gogs, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fucked me up.
I read the book, so I knew what I knew what to expect.
Sitting there forcing myself to laugh at Wilbur Valderrama losing an arm or whatever. Like, this is not a dark comedy.
I said good day.
But like, I don't know, man. He's made a lot of good movies, but he also makes kind of like, I think like his misses are kind of like middle of the road. Like, he made a movie a couple of years ago with like Jack Black, where he was like this, like, he was like a funeral director or something.
Oh, Bernie. It's not very good.
It was not very, well, this brings me to Hitman, because that feels like the exact kind of energy that Bernie had, where it's just like, it's very competently made. I felt like all the actors did a good job. I feel like
it's
the writing...
It's perfectly cromulent,
but it's got, like, no bite. And it's just it's just there. Like, and I was kind of taken aback because a lot of movie critics that I like were raving about this movie. And they're like, this is going to end up on, like, a lot of people's best ofs at the end of the year. And I, like, watched it, and I'm like, what did you guys see in this movie?
Is it like a Joe Swanberg movie, like a Digging for Fire, that kind of like, why am I watching this?
It is very much like a Richard Linkletter movie. Like, it's trying to be funny. It feels like a toothless, like, Mike Judge movie. Like, it's like a Mike Judge
confused.
It's like a Mike Judge movie with no snappy point of view. It's just not great. And the thing is, like, so the premise of the movie is that what's his name again? I already forgot his name.
Glenn Powell.
So he's like this nerdy college professor that moonlights helping the police. And then eventually the police let him basically become an undercover agent, which, by the way, they say this is loosely based off a true story, but this seems absolutely ridiculous. But he basically plays a hitman. Like, so people contact a hitman, and then he shows up to arrange, you know, the hit, and then the people get arrested, right? And the point of the movie is...
he wasn't like, he's not murdering for the police. I guess the police do that enough themselves.
No, yeah, they don't need to hire people. But the point, like, and the one of the points of the movie is that hitmen don't really exist. We've just built them up in movies. So, like, people are just willing to believe that they exist. And it's funny, because that's one of the threads that's kind of interesting about this movie. Because this movie, the point of this movie is kind of about not being fulfilled in the life that you had and, like, kind of living in another life to try to, like, build up yourself in this alternate persona. And, again, that stuff is interesting if it was written a little bit better. But the movie it's very surface level. Everything about the movie is very surface level. And the other problem that I had with this movie is Glenn Powell is way too hot for this character. This character works a lot better if he's like a schlubby dork.
Like a Paul Giamatti?
Or like a Jesse Plemons would have been good in this role. Because, like, he's kind of dumpy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's not... Like, Glenn Powell is a fucking model. In this movie, he's like, oh, I'm a sad college professor that can't get over his ex, and I live alone with my two cats. And it's like... No one's buying that, bro. Like, you look like a fucking Calvin Klein model.
Kind of like how Baby Goose was better looking than Quicksilver in The Fall Guy, and he's supposed to be the stuntman.
Well, yeah, but at least, like, in that, like, he's still, like, it's not like he's portrayed as being, like, a dork. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
he's
true.
Still, like, a cool guy in that movie. Like, it's fine. But, yeah, this movie is, like, I'm supposed to believe that this guy is, like, a loser that can't get a girlfriend, and it's like, I can't get it. And then, like, this is supposed to be like a black comedy, and the only part of the movie that I thought was kind of funny is as he becomes more and more into being this, like, fake hitman, he, like, puts on, like, alternate personas to the meets. So, like, he, like, is like these goofy characters, like this, like, goofy British guy, and at one point he's literally Patrick Bateman, which is the funniest part, the only part of the movie that I actually laughed. Like, he's in the suit, he's got his hair slicked back, and he talks exactly like Patrick Bateman, which is legitimately funny, but I think it's just because, like, the Patrick Bateman meme has just, like, it's just burrowed into my brain.
Yeah, it's brain rot, yeah.
And it's, but it's funny. And, but, like, it, the movie turns into, like, this kind of, like, romance that doesn't really work. And then by the end of the movie, like, the two main characters are legit murderers, but it's just kind of laughed off, and it's just like, I don't really understand, like, I
Wait, he becomes a hitman?
No. No. But he is involved in someone's death.
Ah.
Like, directly involved in someone's death. And it, and the other, the lead, the female lead in this is the girl that was in the Belko experiment, that, like, hot, like, Hispanic.
Oh, yeah,
girl.
Yeah, yeah.
She's great. She's super hot. But, like, the marketing of this movie is, like, you kept seeing TikTok ads for this, and it's, like, the sexiest movie of the year, and it's, like...
it's, like, 9.5 weeks or some shit.
I mean, it's, like, yeah, they're both hot, but, like, I don't care. Like, I don't know. And, like, is that, like, a selling point? It's, like, look at these hot people, like, in a movie. It's, like, aren't most...
Everybody movies are hot.
Yeah. Right. Like,
I mean, Paul Giamatti.
We're not in, like, the fucking French... Yeah. We're not in the French New Wave. We're not watching a Pasolini film where he's hiring, like, homeless people. Like, what are you...
Oh, my God, what a reference.
Yeah, thank you. this is the Gospel According to St. Peter by Pablo Pasolini. Anyway, I didn't really care for Hitman. I feel like I'm the only person that didn't like it. So y'all might like it. Your mileage may vary. To me, this is a five all the way. This is the, what is it, Sean? I said in my Letterboxd review, this is a perfectly cromulent film to watch while you're getting an oil change.
Like, that's the exactly Patient First Collection.
Yeah, this is in the Patient First Collection. 100%. Like, this that is might a,
be, I wish Alec was here, because that still, I think, might be the funniest thing anybody's ever said.
He mentioned it on my Facebook, so yeah. But it's hilarious, because this is a perfectly, like, inoffensive movie. Like, again, it's well done. It's not bad. It's just, I don't know, man. Maybe I've just gone off the deep end, but, like, you gotta have a little bite. You have to have a little bit of teeth.
All of us have seen so many movies. Like, it's like the fucking getting desensitized to just regular shit. It's like, please, God, do something weird.
Well, it's just like, it sounds like it's just a very safe movie to generate content.
It is. Right? That is exactly what it is. But again, what's frustrating about it is that it's not, like I would say that, like, Atlas is also a very safe movie for content. Go ahead, Sean.
Sorry. Yeah, I was gonna, because I was listening to you guys talk about Atlas last week, and it was like, it was the perfect way to describe it, was it is content. It is there to fill 2 hours, and that is all. That is its function.
Yeah, and I mean, but this is too, Hitman is too, but it's made better. Like, it's written by a competent person. It's directed by a competent filmmaker. It's filled with good actors. It's just nothing in between. Like, there's just nothing there. Like, I don't know. It's very odd. I really felt really conflicted after watching it. I was very kind of confused, but I don't know. Again, I'd like to hear other people's opinion on it. Like, I don't think you'll hate it. Like, again, this is a perfectly normal movie to watch with, like, normies. Like, that's the thing I got, like, kind of on myself about it after I watched it. I was like, well, maybe I am what, like, Chris Parks said I was all those years ago. Like, if it's not subtitled or black and white, I don't like it. And it's like, this is, like, a normal person's movie, and I did not like
it. But it's like one of those things with Richard Linklater. It's like, because he's capable, like a Scanner Darkly or whatever, of doing things that are interesting, it's a big letdown when it's just like, oh, anybody could have made this.
Yeah, 100%. And again, like, the movie deals with interesting themes, and I think, like, it scratches at, like, a better movie, and a movie where, like, when they get into, like, the darker themes of the movie, if they, like, leaned into it more, I think that's a better movie. Instead, they just kind of hand-wave it aside, and I mean, like, again, like, the movie ends in, like, a very dark way, but, like, you would know by the tone of the movie. And again, it's a dark comedy, but, like, I don't know. It reminded me a lot of Bernie. The film Bernie in this are like sister films. Like, they felt very similar. I don't know. I'd be interested to see, like, if anybody ever watches Hitman, like, let me know what you think. I would like to talk about it to somebody that I actually know and not just like, these movie people on the internet.
I'm not going to watch it. So
The other thing, you know what? I can see you end up watching it. You and Liz can watch it. You want to watch something?
Don't drag her into this.
Liz is a normie. I mean, she's a great person, but she's a normie. She's not. Yeah. She doesn't swim in the deep waters we swim in. That's not an insult to her. God, if anything, it's a compliment.
Yeah, it is a compliment.
I don't know.
God's, how many movies would you... This is a good thought experiment. Like, Liz is just a regular person who enjoys media as a regular person and not a fucking sick weirdo like us. Mm-hmm. How many movies would you estimate Liz has seen in her life, if you just had to guess?
Total?
Yeah.
Like, okay, caveat. Like movies, like she's seen it. Doesn't matter if she's seen it one time or 10 times. It's just you count as right. One.
Just, okay. Just it, yeah.
100.
Okay, because I think each one of us is easily over 1,000. Like, I don't think that's probably
arguable. No, she's. I was just trying to think about like I was like since she's been old enough to consume media, and like. What's a safe number? Probably 2 to 4 movies a year. That's probably how I would get to that number. And then she's like me. She's like, and like a lot of us, she's got her anxieties and stuff. So she's a creature of comfort. It's fun to rewatch the movies you love. Right. But like, you're not out exploring. I bet 100.
Again, probably. it's not a slight. Like, it's not.
Right. Now. I'm going to go make her write them all down after.
Well, it's just we're so fucking poisoned, I think, by some of this stuff. Like, I recognize it. Like, if you took, like, every piece of physical media just the three of us owned, like, movies-wise, and calculated the retail value of it, I mean, we could buy a house. Like,
bro, easy. I found out the other day that you can't bequeath your Steam library to your family when you die. Like, when you die, your Steam library goes
is
with
that
you.
Right?
Yeah, the Steam has actually made a statement about this.
That's
and I'm
ridiculous.
I'm looking down the barrels of thousands of dollars of media
that will die with me.
Oh,
yeah.
And I'm like, first of all, I was like, gross. And second of all, I was like, how dare I think that this was something good to leave to my children?
Well,
I mean, can't you just give them the password?
You can, yeah, but eventually the good people see them and be like, no one's 120 years old, and let's just shut her down.
Well, the sun will explode by then. But anyway.
And then my son won't be able to beat Elden Ring.
All right, so DLC is coming very soon. Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's 15 gigs, so it's going to be huge.
Oh, my God.
I heard you can only access it by going to, like, an optional area.
Well, that's so always, like, I mean, you've played others from games. That's always.
That's like,
I've never.
Fallout's like that, too, right?
Fun fact about me. I'm a Scorpio, but also I have never played a from game DLC.
Really? Oh, you should go back and if you ever get the itch, go back and replay Bloodborne and play the old Hunters DLC. It's amazing. It's the best part of the game.
Very good.
Did anybody, I know we don't want to talk about this, but did anybody play the Armored Core, the new one?
Oh, yeah, me and Goggs loved it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Very good.
So I watched one other thing.
Oh, Christ, you're still here. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I watched a movie called Yellow Brick Road, all one word.
Oh, I almost watched that on Shudder.
Yeah, don't. It's terrible. Here's the thing, right? So, like, I know that reading makes you gay and all, but I am gay. It is
the number
pride.
One cause.
It is pride and all. So I read this book that's kind of insane. Like, an insane person wrote it, and it's kind of insane to read. Like, it's an experience that, like, I thought was overhyped when I kept hearing about it, and then I was like, oh, fuck it, I'll read it. It's called House of Leaves, and it's less a book and more like a reading experience because, like, it's a book, but then, like, it's got all this other shit in it, and, like, it's kind of, like, metatextual. It's fucking wild. It's really, really, really interesting. I can't recommend it enough. But anyway, in watching a lot of YouTube videos about House of Leaves, because it is deep and very confusing and, like, there's a lot of interpretations of it, this movie, Yellow Brick Road, like, kept coming up because it's like, oh, it's the closest to, like, a House of Leaves movie that we'll ever get. And you will never, ever get a House of Leaves movie
Not if Zack Snyder has anything to say about
it. Well, it's kind of like what Alan Moore used to say about Watchmen. Where
Watchmen,
like,
yeah, that was the
like,
joke.
It's fun. No, yeah, nice. It went over my head. but like House of Leaves is like it is an experience specifically designed for how the writer wrote it. Like it's very weird and dense. You couldn't make it into a movie. It's even hard to fucking describe. Like, you couldn't even make it an audiobook the way it's written. So I kept seeing this yellow brick road. It brought it up as like, well, it's the closest we're going to get. I was like, all right, I'm interested. Now, you guys know that I don't discriminate against lower budget films. In fact, I love low budget films. I watch, indie films all the time. This movie is painfully handcuffed by its budget.
Like a Blaxploitation Tubi movie?
This is worse. This is it's so bad and so cheap. And like, it's just like, it's so frustrating. Like, you know how I feel about remakes? Mm-hmm. But like, if somebody gave, not this filmmaker, not the guy that made it, because he sucks. Because, like, his direction is horrible.
Not
like,
you, asshole.
There's so many, like, the thing that killed me the most about this movie is the most common cut in this movie is a fade to black. Don't ever do fade to blacks. Like, I feel like I'm watching, like, I had to, like, Wikipedia it. I was like, was this a TV movie at some point? Because that's
It looked like it had commercials.
That's what it did.
A classic
it was, like,
fade, though.
Fade to black, like, you don't do that. Like, that is an awful, like, editing choice. Like, why are you doing
it? It's, like, right above the wipe.
Bro, it was so fucking distracting, and it kept happening. I was like, oh, my God. It took me out of the movie so fucking hard. And then, like, I mean, the movie, again, there is interesting stuff in it, and I think if you gave it to somebody that could actually shoot a movie and gave them, like, I don't know, $5 million or a little bit more than the 20 bucks they got to make this movie.
Is it a thing where it's like it's the reach exceed that's grasp, or it just looks bad, or both?
It's both. Because okay. I think, like, it also is underwritten for what it is, right?
Because like, Primer costs, what, like $100? And that movie looks great.
You know, Shane Carruth.
Still don't understand it. Yeah.
Fucking genius. I mean, and also like Upstream
Color. Shout out to Upstream Color.
Upstream Color is an even better movie and costs, I think he spent like $2 million on that. And it's just like, and it sucks because he sucks. Like he got, in real life, he's not a very good person. And it really, really, really bums me out because I think that guy is a genius. But, you know, what are you going to do? But yeah, this Yellow Brick Road is like, it's interesting. You want to like the movie. Like there's like the basic premise is very simple. It's a very like Blair Witchy kind of Silent Hill kind of thing. Like basically there was these people in this town in upper Massachusetts that in the 40s, this entire town went up this path and was never seen again. And there was only one survivor and he was like the raving lunatic or whatever. And it's been like an urban legend kind of thing for all these years. And these authors, our main characters, they want to make a book about it. So they want to go up the path and see what the mysteries are. Solid enough horror premise, right? And, you know, as they go up the path, like, well, the first thing that I think is kind of cool is like this. So they're literally like trying to find the coordinates of this path. And it starts at this movie theater. And I was like, all right, already, that's a good idea. Like, that's kind of interesting. And then thematically, like, the movie theater comes back in at the end. But, like, the middle part is just not interesting. And it's a combination of the direction, the acting. The acting is very bad. And, again, the editing choices are so bad. And, like, they do, like, what I call like BBC level like camera tricks, like when there's like a persistent like sound that like assaults the characters, but they shake the camera and it's like, ugh. dude, don't do that. And like, I don't
brother,
know, man, like, there's interesting stuff in this movie, but like it is, I think if you can stay immersed in this movie, you're better than me. Cause all the stuff I mentioned like pulls me out of the movie so fucking hard. Like I can't take it seriously. I'm sorry. It's just, it's very frustrating. And then, like, of course, like, it's a very kind of, like, Lovecraftian thing as they go up the path. Like, their equipment's all fucked up, and the equipment is saying that they're in, like, Guam. They can't figure out where they are. They're like, essentially, like, in some sort of, like, hinder place, you know? They're outside of reality. And then they slowly start going insane and turning on each other. Oh, I love all that stuff. That's, that, you know, nom, 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 nom. Give me all that. But, like, make it better.
Right? Like, do it right, like, shithead.
This is, like, one of those things where if Goggs explained the storyline and, like, the point-to-point, it would, you'd be like, man, that sounds fucking awesome. Like, the guy Goggs goes crazy. Like the
ultimate movie catfish.
Yeah, the guy goes crazy, and then he fucking, like, bites this woman's face off, and you're like, oh, that's
fucking, hell yeah.
That sounds cool as shit. And then you watch, and you're like, oh. Like,
yeah.
Or, like, I think one of the neatest things that they do in this movie is, like, they get to a certain point in the film, and they go up the path or whatever, and they hear this, like, music. This constant, like, music that's in the air that they can't get away from. That I, like, that's a neat idea. I like that idea. But it sounds so bad because their mixing is bad. And, it again, every time they introduce something interesting in this movie, the production kills me, and I can't take it seriously. So yeah,
you're
don't
making
watch
it sound out. Like a fucking Jodorowsky movie.
I mean, but those are at least interesting.
No, like, but you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
How is it, like you said, people are saying it's like this crazy book, right? And is that the book where there's like insets, like with like, yes, other text over top, yes, of text and some weight? Yes. Okay. Yes. Is it, was that a fair comparison?
So there's a storyline in the book where they go into this house that basically keeps unfolding into like this never ending like loop. And there's elements of that. That's what this story kind of is. So like that, and where it ends up, it's kind of similar to where the book is. But again, the book is like text on top of text, literally text on top,
yeah,
of text.
I've seen pictures of another movie insane. On top of the movie.
Hey.
Yeah. I highly recommend House of Leaves. It's a very interesting, like, it's just an experience. Like, it's just interesting. Like, I don't know how this guy wrote that book, because it's not even like a book. It's very odd. I thought it was interesting just to, as a piece of media, it's an interesting thing to do. Like, it's nothing, and it's nothing that you could ever replicate. I mean, well, we always talk about how, like, on this show, like, I love unique things. I don't think there's, you couldn't replicate House of Leaves. Like, it's impossible. Like, it's a one of one.
Oh, thing. I'm sure people are trying.
Yeah. Well, it's really good. If you get a chance to read it, it's just annoying that you have to, you know, in this day and age, you have to go out and buy it. You know, it's like it's like $35, and it's very, like, it's not going to fit on your bookshelf very well. And it's, but it's cool. I highly recommend it. I don't recommend Yellow Brick Road. I did not like it. I was really disappointed because I wanted to watch something else today before the show, and I picked that. I almost picked the weird 1980s psychedelic remake of The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari that's on Shudder.
I almost watched that too.
That I've been meaning to watch. Hard. I've been meaning to watch that shit for like 25 years. I've never watched it. I really want to watch it. Maybe I'll watch it this week. And I almost, so you guys know I'm back on my AMC Stubbs Plus list or whatever. I'm back on that. I can see 3 movies a week now on that. So now it's like, now I have every week I have this thing where it's like, well, I need to go see a movie because I need to make, you know, the most out of that subscription.
Right. You're losing money otherwise.
The only thing halfway interesting out right now is the new M. Night Shyamalan's Daughters movie called Watchers. But everyone said it's like awful. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not going to go see that.
Well, apples and trees.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's all I watched. So let's get into Enough. Which really fucked up by not having 80s hair metal band Enough is Z-Nuff.
With Chips Enough.
Chips Enough. Yeah, that's correct.
Also, I believe a character in Guilty Gear.
Yes, based off the band, because like everybody, yeah, in a lot of the Guilty Gear characters are named.
Shout out to Guilty Gear. Talk about a fucking confusing lore. Jesus Christ. God.
Yeah.
Dogs, there's like a 5-hour video explaining the lore of the Guilty Gear series, and I've watched twice.
You can miss me with that whole fighting system. I don't fucking understand it.
How dare you?
I mean, dare me, because that is the worst fighting system.
Speaking of great fighting systems, let's talk about Krav Maga and Jennifer Lopez.
Oh my God. Yeah. First of all,
is that what she learned?
Was her coach somebody? I mean, we're all somebody, but like, was that someone we should have recognized?
His voice sounded very
funny. Yeah.
Like, was he with the guy? Was he the guy from Forrest Gump? They said, "Why did you assemble that robot so quickly, Gump?" Was that him?
I'm not sure. I feel like he's like a non-Union Mexican Lance Reddick type.
Well, anywho,
yeah.
Let's talk about enough.
Let's talk about it.
So
first, First of all,
0% chance. In the history of the universe, a woman has ever called another woman slim. Has never happened. Will no, never happen. That is a name exclusively for cowboys and Scott Summers. Like,
and,
does and not
certain,
happen.
And certain thugs.
Yeah, and Whitmans.
And also, immediately, right off the bat, the dialogue in this movie is unbelievably bad. Like, it is so weird. And, like, Juliette Lewis is like calling like Jennifer Lopez ugly and vice versa, and then Jennifer Lopez is telling Juliette Lewis that she stinks, and like
what's your take on Juliette Lewis? I was texting TJ Analog. I was like, sometimes I find her incredibly attractive, and sometimes I find her incredibly goofy looking, and I can't decide.
Way up there.
I'm surprised from Gogs. I always
is it a nostalgia thing?
It's like
is it a natural born killers deal?
That's part of it. I don't know. There's just some sort of like.
And California. Anybody remember that movie?
Yeah, with a K.
I never saw that.
Yeah. With Brad.
Because she is objectively strange looking, right? Like she's not.
Yeah, but there's something about her like general trash vibe that I'm like, yeah.
She's got like a Belladonna vibe, if that tracks for anybody who loves pornography in that era.
Right?
That era of pornography.
Thankfully, that era is still available to us.
Oh yeah, she's filthy.
Yeah, and like you know, like I love like Strange Days. Like she just shows up in places. I think she's attached to so many movies. I love
a lot of cool movies. Yeah, was not this, but she's in that movie where the two retarded people get married.
Yeah, the other sister with Giovanni Ribisi. Yep. We had sex, and I loved her, and it was wonderful. I've seen that movie cover to cover for some reason. Don't ask me why. When I watched every movie.
Well,
there was a time in 2004 you could be like, hey, have you ever seen it? I would just go, yep.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But no, she's up there. Anyway, so the movie opens, and it's like, you're at a diner or some such, and
it opens like a what is the Nicolas Cage lottery movie?
Oh, right, where it's like you're like I don't have the money to tip you. Oh, it's like honoring your commitments. That's not the name of the movie. But isn't that Rosie Perez? Isn't she the waitress in that scenario? Another fly girl.
Puerto Rican upgrade Rosie Perez over Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
Upgrade.
Not nearly as pretentious and as annoying.
Yeah. No, she talked good and everything. So we are at a diner and these diner ladies are doing diner things and their boss you think is a prick, but he ends up giving her away his wedding. So I guess this is the only family she has is diner based family.
He is also Indian. This is weirdly important later.
Yeah. She's just doing her thing, talking to jerks and slinging, let's say, hash browns. And this guy who looks kind of like the guy from that Hitman thing, or maybe he is a various doctor from one of the
'90s.
Is he a mix something? He's a McGrady or a McGrady.
Everybody looks like a soap opera actor in this.
Yeah. Yes. So anyway,
also this guy uses the line I assume Sean used for years, where he just goes, "I write books."
Yeah. So this guy comes.
Do you read? I write books.
Also, 0% chance this guy eats at this place, knowing his exquisite taste. Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, but it's part of you find out later it's part of a scam.
It's all part of a long con.
It was a scam on top of a scam. Yeah.
Part of his vague savings and loans / crime enterprise, I'm not sure.
No, he's an actual cop.
Is he?
No. But him and his buddy, because he was in on it the entire time.
Yeah, though. No, right. it's a long con to punch
and
a
the
lady.
And the buddy is a millionaire for reasons I don't know why.
So wait, first he starts out dressed like a hobo, right? When he so this guy's like, "Hey, I brought you a rose. Can I like finger you?" And he's like, "I don't know. That seems like a weird ask." And then the other guy's like, "No, you can't talk to a lady like that." And then he's like, "I'll do it." And then she's like, "I'm for it." And so now Jennifer Lopez is hooked up with this guy. And then 15 minutes later, they get married. And they get married at this guy's rich house factory plantation. And
right, this is where I'm lost, because like his family's rich, but he, I don't know how conning waitresses.
He's got that bread, because he's developing buildings or
whatever.
But I thought
he said he was a cop.
No, his buddy.
I was talking about the husband having a vague like savings and loan slash.
Oh yeah, no, the husband,
you had me fucked up.
Yeah, well, so is this movie. Like, so the husband shows up, and he's dressed up like he's dressed up like a poverty fella, and he's just like, "All right, I want to marry you." So she gets given away by the fry cook and her like old like her simp boyfriend from
Exactly like her husband.
He looks like the mousy version of her husband. Like, he doesn't look like he's got a good like a strong right hand. That guy shows up, and then Juliette Lewis is like, "Hey, can I finger you?" And he's like, "I guess." And he doesn't believe in himself.
The worst exchange of dialogue ever committed to film, by the way. Like, I wasn't talking about making it a blah, 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 blah. It's like, right. Jesus Christ.
And we learn, and that's where we learn he lives in Seattle. So now, so in this late stage capitalism wedding where you're given away by your boss to the man who will later beat you. She's now betrothed to this fella. And this guy invents buildings, and he also knocked her up. And then he's a psychopath, and he's like, "I want to buy your house, stranger, and I will harass you until you sell it to me."
Pause real quick, because I can't remember, so you guys need to refresh my memory. The title cards have already started, right?
Yes.
Like the audience, what you need to know, because I do not recommend that you watch this. There are title cards over and over. I think the first title
how
card
they
is
met.
How they met. Then it's
new
like
beginnings.
New beginnings.
Yeah.
Then it's like, "You think you can escape?" Like, it's very weird. And
it is
all over the
insane
place.
Like, yeah. I've never seen any, like, because usually we get a title card like in a Wes Anderson movie where it just gives you a place or something, or it's like the Clerks thing where it's like one word, which is super pretentious too. But like, at least it kind of makes sense, but it is bizarre. It's like Homer's Night Out slides. You know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah.
I don't get it at all. Weird choice.
So anyway, so like there's shit like to have and to hold, and like to hold and to punch. And so they give birth.
The bob and to weave.
Yeah, right? Float like a butterfly, get stung in your face. So now, so they're having an idyllic life in this house they stole from these people. She gives birth to her baby, and her husband's like already very possessive of everything. And so now it's, he's taking a shower one night, and J-Lo's like, "Can I join you?" And he's like, "Get away from me, you skank." Except he doesn't say that.
It was implied.
She gets all, it's an implied.
He basically didn't want to fuck because he already had busted with his other chick.
And, well, no, he was preparing to.
Oh,
bust.
He was ready to bust.
Why would he want to get the easy one out?
You
right, know what I mean?
Release
like,
the single before the album. So right. Like, what are you going to do? So she gets like, she's all sad cutting onions or eggs or something in the kitchen and.
In that thing where people only do in movies where they cook in the dark.
Yeah. And then like, so like the beeper goes off, his beeper keeps going off, and it doesn't just keep going off. It's like rattling its
ringing.
Way like across the counter, and the page is just two numbers. So she goes to his cellular telephone and flips it open and punches in those two numbers. And then she has a confrontation with Darcell Jones or whoever.
Wow.
You're a space predator. So,
am I to take when she says I called 33? Am I to understand this is his 33rd bitch? Like, is he moving
number
that
33
much?
Of God knows how many numbers can there be, right? So he's putting it down. So she confronts him, and that's when he gets a little slap happy. And
Grandpappy.
right? And, you know, she should have just minded her business. So now,
really, it's her fault, honestly, kinda, everything that happens.
I mean, I know, right. I know whose fault it's not. So she confronts him and he's like, you'll never leave. And she's like, I'm going to leave. He's like, no, you won't. And then he takes her,
Both of the actors are Kris Kristofferson in this scene.
Yeah. He takes her license and registration and he's like, I'm going to make sure you don't do something stupid. So you're going to stay here. And she's like, oh, fiddlesticks. I don't know what to do. And she almost calls the cops, but then she doesn't. But she ends up calling his mom, and his mom is like totally cool with him being an asshole.
Yeah. His mom's
like, what did you do?
Yeah.
Did we skip over his weird alpha male like speech about he hasn't got
the money and all that shit.
Right, like, what do you do without me? Like it's like every like
it's very every hard reason for not women to leave. These days.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was done.
Yeah. Oh, I'm done. There's an insane editing choice in this where the mother's like, oh, what did you do? And then it cuts and you just hear voices like, well, you know, spousal abuse and blah, blah, blah. And like in the language of cinema, it's them continuing the conversation in a restaurant, but she has magically jumped to the diner and is having a conversation with Juliette Lewis.
Right. So she's told, oh, she can't keep her mouth shut. She's just telling everybody, everyone's business. Like, so.
Yeah, the guy, it's funny though, cause he's like, well, I'm the man and I have desires, so I'm just gonna take care of those desires and you get to stay home and have a great life and it's fine. What the fuck? But it's literally the talking points of like Fresh and Fit, like that's like what they say now, like in 2024.
Yeah, so now,
they were inspired by this film.
I mean, so now, she's like, alright, I'm having enough. So she decides to, she's like, all right, I'm going to escape the house. And so she comes up with an elaborate ruse to, let her husband fall asleep. And then she fakes that she's having a shower.
Classic move right there.
It's a banger. So like one of the various diner folk are out in the diner van.
Yeah, they're in the mystery machine.
Yeah, the one dude sitting there, and he's, like, making the sound of, like, a wounded gazelle. And he's like, bah-wah, bah-wah. And she's like, oh, I wonder if they heard it. So then she, like, wakes up her child, and they take their go bag, and she's, like, slowly walking out of the house. And then she's like, I don't know. It's like, you go to predator vision or whatever, and they're like, I don't know. Maybe this is a bad idea. Maybe I shouldn't go away. Maybe I haven't had enough. And then... like the dude erupts from the pantry, I think. So then he like kicks the Christ out of her.
It's important that you know that apropos of absolutely nothing with no context, I just texted TJ, like, why does this business dork got a silenced pistol?
Right. He turns into a fucking snake solid snake for some fucking reason.
Well, he's probably retired a few people. So anyway, this guy, He pops out of the pantry. He just has a field day on her ribs with his boots. The diner patrol breaks in with a baseball bat. They almost get JFK'd. They use the child as a human shield. By the way, this child, there's not enough therapy in the world for this child.
She is going
right to the pole. She is done. So where were we? JLo's got enough.
Human shield, baby.
Human shield, baby, to get away. Then it's just Then no one ever really gets away. So then it's just a series of like sneaking around in seedy hotels, and he cut off all the money, but that's fair because it's his money. And so she can't go anywhere good because she tried to check into the Biltmore. Like, lady, calm yourself down. Like, if you wanted to stay at the Biltmore, you had to endure. You couldn't have had enough. So now,
I really wish that she vocalized often how much she had enough or didn't have enough. Better so movie. Then,
I don't know if this has happened yet, but like this is very important to me because it's wild. And you maybe get ready to say it with no lead up and no mention of it before, and just completely out of left field, as far as I know. She goes to the office of what she presumes to be her
question mark mobbed up father? Like
later,
who had
yes.
Oh, is that later? Okay, good. I'm sorry.
Later. So now she still hasn't had enough yet to see her dad. So now right, so old boy keeps finding her, he's calling her, she's escaping out of like bathroom windows and just running to Seattle. She ends up making it to Seattle. Maybe this is when she sees her mobbed up dad. Because he's like, here, I'll give you $6, because that's what I gave all the other girls. And, like, I guess
wild.
Her story went public. I don't know what's happening. Like, I guess
his
a lot
crime
of people,
business had an IPO.
Right, like, the dude must have been setting up franchises, because
also,
there's, like, lots of broads coming through saying they're his daughter.
He just, like, he's like, I'll give you the standard amount, and he throws, like, $100 on the table.
Yeah, it was literally
$6 for a sandwich, and he's like, I'll give you, because you dragged a kid along, give you 12.
And I was like, my first thought was, man, you remember when you get a sandwich for $6?
I know,
dude,
right?
Like, you can't, yeah. Like, thanks, Biden. So now.
Also, this man's name is Jupiter. It could be his first name, could be his last name, could be a nickname. Who knows?
She went to go see Jupiter, and the movie got stupider.
I would have said she ascended to see Jupiter, but.
Nice.
No, it's even better.
So anyway, she gets some money. She goes and visits the cuck that she left everyone for in Seattle.
This guy is ridiculous. Like, this guy sucks.
He's pathetic. That guy sucks.
Me, Joe.
Yeah. So then.
This guy has got Milhouse energy for days.
Yeah, you know, you got the dad. The fake FBI shows up and like shakes him down.
This guy's got literal hired goons. That's what these guys are.
Like, the one dude was gonna like cut him like real good.
I love that where the other guy's like, we weren't here to do that. Like, the guy's about to kill the dude. He's like, we weren't paid to do that. Like, what the
fuck?
Yeah,
like, come on. You need to be like Crombopulous Michael. I got no
code of ethics. Just love killing.
I just love killing. So this is all happening, I guess. And then eventually she breaks into a lawyer's office. And she's like, hey, dude, I have enough. And he's like, all right. So then.
It's funny every time.
So then, dude's like, all right, for the $600 you got in fake dad money, I'll tell you this much. Off the record, you need to murder this man because he will murder you. And yeah. So then he plots, or he sticks a plot point in her brain of, listen, if it's self-defense, right, you can't, you know, he fucking did a Zimmerman. He's like, as long it's murder if it's self-defense, so just make it self-defense-y. So then she goes and trains for 1 month. Oh, meanwhile, there is an impending custody hearing, because technically she has kidnapped her daughter, which I guess she's going to report to, but everybody's like, I don't know, this could be a bad thing. So she's still talking to her, I guess, still mother-in-law, because they're not divorced.
And the mother-in-law is, like, weirdly, like, fucking, like, fine with the murderous. Like, she understands her son is, like, a murderous psychopath.
And, she's like Switzerland somehow?
Yeah.
Like, she should either be, like, very, like, protective of him or against him, but she's just kind of like, what are you going to do?
Right. It's very weird.
Right. But she's probably been lumped up. So anyway,
Excuse me. What does that mean in this context? Lumped up.
Like she probably took a punch or two.
She got red-riced. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Lovely lady lumps.
No, not a lady lumps. No.
I did not understand what you meant by that at all.
Man, you gotta punch more ladies, I guess, TJ.
I guess, buddy.
So now.
Maybe TJ needs Krav Maga.
I do.
Yeah. Right. Oh yeah. So then J-Lo goes.
No, I
want to
learn whatever.
Disc,
I
want to
learn whatever
Hamas punches.
Is.
Yeah. She learns fucking Muay Thai, and the guy's like, I guess he must like have a shine to him because he's
so,
like later in the film.
Well,
he's gonna kick you while
this
you're
will
down.
Only be a reference applicable to the three of us. But did anybody else think of the scene in Duel?
Yes, I was just about to bring that up. This is the scene in Duel with the comedy. Like, it's exactly the same scene. Like, except Duel is brilliant in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Duel without the jokes. Like, it's the same fucking scene. Also, like, Sean, in Gogs, you too, you like MMA, but I know Sean's a little bit more into it. It's so laughable to think that, like, she'd become, like, an expert trained fighter in, like, a month.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
But,
like,
well, it's not even that she just becomes, like, a trained fighter
like
in big Israeli martial arts. That's it. Like, she's doing backflips and shit. And it's like, what? Also, he outweighs her by at least 100 pounds.
Yeah,
like, that
least.
Still means something.
Like, yeah.
There's a reason there's weight classes, people.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, she becomes an expert
it's
in
like
wire
that,
work
it's like that,
or whatever.
What was that thing, Sean, that, like, fight circus or that
oh,
guy
yeah.
that looked like Matt McCormick's fighting, like, two Thai boys?
Yeah.
And just, like,
or they had the mountain was fighting those two brothers or whatever the other day.
Oh, Eddie Hall beat up two guys.
That's who I'm thinking of. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking ridiculous.
So anyway, so she's learned how to fight and feel pain again, and she sent her
why?
She sent her daughter off to live with Juliette Lewis.
Oh, can we talk real quick briefly? They have to get fake names, and she goes, "Okay, don't call me Slim." And her daughter's like, "I've never referred to you by your first name or nickname ever. I just call you Mom."
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It was just such a weird point. Like.
Also, oh, right. Oh, yeah, I forgot. She's still, like, so wait. So they were seeing the cuck in Seattle,
mm-hmm.
and then they run away once the fake FBI shows up. Then they go to another town where she gets, like, a new fake identity.
Yeah.
And then that's
it's
when you find out
town
that there
you
was
have to water taxi, too. So
you have to take
the
a
town,
ferry, too.
It's the town from fucking Alan Wake.
So I was now, thinking of where the Thompsons live.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So now, the bad guy of the film, in quotes, has, he gets his buddy to, like, his buddy the cop who was the guy, like, that was in the first scene, he's like, hey, find her, otherwise I'll gut you like a fish, and the guy's
is
like,
is it
hi.
Noel Wiley, is that guy?
That's
the
him.
Guy from
that
ER, is that who we're, okay.
Oh, it's ER, not Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
So anyway, that guy finds her when the cuck goes to visit her at the cruise port, and then there's a basketball scene, and then they find they've been discovered again. So she's got to run yet again, but this time she's gonna set up an elaborate ruse where she hires a woman that looks like her to be somewhere, and then her daughter is with Juliette Lewis, and now she knows Krav Maga, and so she's going to break into this man's house, which is now an apartment, and she's going to set it up.
Full-on Tenchu. And she has her hands
yeah.
wrapped, which is the goofiest shit I think I've ever seen in a movie.
Also, like, I know this movie is trying to feign realism, but her, like, fighting stance is so stupid and, like, boring, where she's just like had her hands up like a cat. Like, it's just,
yeah,
like,
it is like an approximation of a Muay Thai stance, which
yeah.
to which she does zero Muay Thai.
Shout but like, Thai, it's a dumbass
yeah.
movie. At least like do like some kind of cool like Bruce Lee like stance or like give me something. Like it looks so
yeah.
Fucking
give me the
stupid.
The come here the fucking the finger wag thing or something. Yeah.
Oh, also
anyway.
Unrelated to anything. Did you see, Sean, that Terry Bogard is a Terry Bogard and Mai are new characters in Street Fighter VI?
No, that's awesome. But I also thought you were about to call him Terry Gohard, which is like way funnier.
Hey, come on, suck my dick.
This is. Are you okay? Have you ever heard that story? Why he says that?
No.
So this is deep Fatal Fury lore. Sorry, Gogs. But when
system.
When he does his Buster Wolf or whatever, he goes, oh, are you okay? Apparently the guy, the director, was in Disneyland one time and he heard some kid just say, are you okay? And he thought that was the coolest shit ever for whatever reason. And that's why he says it. True story.
He also says okay when he flips his hat.
Yeah,
okay.
come on.
Shout out to
King of Fighters,
Curry,
though.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, where are we at in this movie? Okay, so she is now broken into this man's home. She has disabled the intranets and the cellular telephone. She's bought a with what money? I guess with Jupiter money. She's bought a cell phone blocker.
Yeah.
She has cut the wires.
Oh, real quick,
thing,
I'm
right?
sorry. At some point, like they're looking for her, and it's like, well, she's a waitress. Like it's her like
like fucking calling, like go find things that waitresses would do.
We check all the Denny's and Waffle Houses?
Yeah. Where are we? Okay, so she. Okay, so she breaks it. So, like, let's talk this through. This whole plot hinges, right, on her being able to claim self-defense, right?
Right.
She breaks into dude's house, right? Now she's got, like, she's like, oh, well, I had some letters in your bureau that said we were going to hang out and, like, fuck, and then this happened. He's like, all right.
She breaks into his house dressed like Michael Dudikoff in a canon movie. She is going to prison. Custody hearing is not going well.
She's like hanging out in the rafters, like watching him make sweet love to some other lady, and then I guess that lady goes away. And then
Where did that lady go? She was in the bedroom at like the beginning of the fight scene. So like, is she just there? Like,
I think he's like, you can, you know, what's the line from Black Dynamite? You can stay or you can come. Don't matter to me, no matter what wise or whatever. So he kicks her out of bed.
He said, no promises. Chapel, my man, another day, another love.
9:30 in the morning.
Underground.
So he leaves for the day. He sets his alarm. She makes it so cell phones can no longer exist in his house, and she cuts the wires to the landline. But here's the deal, right? Like,
Here's the deal.
If her whole thing is, all right, I need to make this look like self-defense, right? Won't someone realize that she basically trapped him in there with no means of calling for, like, help? Like, aren't they going to see the snipped phone line? Yeah. But here's something else that this just pissed me off on a personal level, just from a technical thing. She opened up, like, the low voltage box to the phone box, and then she cut the wire outside of the box. I'm like, why'd she even
try to open it in the box? Why'd you open it up?
She was just confirming it was indeed the phone box.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I don't
also,
know
she is that. Dressed like a fucking psychopath. Like, there is no court on earth that's going to let her slide with this.
Right.
Yeah,
so
doesn't she have, like, weighted gloves on and, like,
she's got her hands wrapped.
A bunch of rings and her hands are wrapped. So she came here. This was premeditated.
You cannot get more premeditated than having your hands wrapped before a fight.
You remember that Simpsons where, like, Homer is in, like, complete black with, like, the black ski mask, everything, when he's about to steal his car? And, like, they're like, what's up with all the black? And he's like, what's up with all the hair? What's up with all anything? It's like, I'm just going out to commit various deeds. She looks so conspicuous.
Yeah.
And even, like, after, spoilers, after she kills him and the cops show up, she's still in there. Like, you know, a smarter movie, she'd have brought a change of clothes so she doesn't look like a fucking ninja. But
She assaults him like that Jamaican priestess in Belly when she kills Ox. She just, like, drops down from the ceiling.
All I remember in Belly is that them forcing that guy to get nude.
Better movie.
Absolutely.
Belly's a triumph.
So she fights him, and he's like,
she like open hand palm strikes him like she's like Boz Rutten in Pancrase. Like, I don't understand what she's doing.
They're slap boxing for a little bit, and then she's like, you know, like, lump me up. And he's like, huh?
So,
and
like, she's, I know, I understand that, like, she doesn't want to shoot him, but, like, she could have brought, like, a pipe or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand why
that's not very honorable, TJ.
I mean, right. That's right.
Also, like, she
follows the code of Bushido now.
Like, she can't, like, how can she defend herself with a pipe, like, in the eyes of the law, right? So,
I guess.
So, anyway, she beats dude up and, like, gives him what for. And then she, like, she's going to give him the old coup de grace, and she can't bring herself to do it. So she disables the cell phone scrambler so that she can get an outside line and call someone and talk through this moral conundrum of, I really want to murder this guy.
Oh, you forgot that her trainer is a precog, and it's like, you will get in this situation.
I literally said that. I said he had the shining because he's like, also, this movie assumes that you are like a goldfish because they show you a scene that literally happened like 5 minutes before this scene where they like have to, it wouldn't be enough for that she just realizes that he's about to kill her and uses the move that he told her. They have to do the same thing. It's like,
you're right. It wouldn't be enough.
Damn it! So then he
kicks her, and then she like sweeps the leg, Johnny, and puts him in a body bag, and she kicks him
off of a balcony through a table.
Right, kicks him through a loft, and he's like, "All right, well." And then she looks down, and she goes, "Well, that's enough." And then the movie's over, and that's it. And it is just like impossibly boring. It is insane and it's up its own ass and it's super boring.
Well, it's funny.
The title cards, I cannot get over it. Like, yeah, the title cards are this is so not weird. Like an art film.
It's like we understand the passage of time.
I think Sean said it to me over text, but it's like, it's like a Lifetime movie, but then with these like artsy cards in the middle, it's like everything is shot like super flat and boring, but then they decide to put these title cards in and it's just like, what the fuck are these title cards? Like, it's so odd.
I'm just going to throw this out there to the group. If you were a pregnant lady and you witnessed your husband partner walk up to like a stranger's home and threaten them into selling it, isn't that like at least a pink or orange flag? Like, shouldn't that have, like,
well, she's a waitress and he's hot and rich. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
But it is funny that he does like an LBO of a guy's house. Like, that's wild. Yeah.
Also, like, the ultimate resolution that this movie has, where she, like, fights and shit, why does it take so long to get there?
Like, because you have to stretch it out to feature length.
Bro, you could have cut a half an hour out of this movie easy. Like, it's crazy how long it takes for her to, like, I was an idiot. I assumed that the training would have happened, like, in the middle of the movie.
Well, that
like,
would I make thought, it,
I would have
be
been
better.
I thought she was going to have, like, one skirmish where she lost, and that, you know, like, a classic kind of, like Karate Kid-style movie, right? Where she, like, trains, she loses, then she trains harder, and then wins.
I was hoping for more, like, a hard candy situation where, like, we open to the revenge is already happening, and you find out why the revenge, through a series of, flashbacks and, like...
You can make this movie, a little bit better with a movie with a comparable plot, like Kill Bill...
Yeah,
all the time trying to have to fight through all his goons or something. You know what I mean?
She had to fight his way through all his project managers, like on his job site.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd have been that'd
like
been
just lean bad. Into it, right? Like, it's already stupid.
It is stupid. Well, the thing is that this movie, like, did anybody else feel like this is a very like early 2000s movie? But like, it felt like this movie thought it had like a message.
Don't beat women.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty easy message, put them down permanently.
I mean, it's a good message to have, but it's just, I don't know, wrapped up in this awful package. All right, do we want to get into Five Knuckle Shuffles?
Yeah.
So we can finish watching the Orioles game. They're currently winning 4-2 in the top of the sixth. And the pitcher for the Rays is named Peapot, which is hilarious.
Shout out to the Khmer Rouge.
Hey, oh,
a holiday in Cambodia. I love that song because it says Pol Pot, Pol Pot, Pol Pot.
Yeah.
What's the Dead Kennedy song that has the N-word in it? That one's fun.
Oh, it's one of the versions of California Uber Alleys.
Yeah. Not great. Anyway, Five Knuckle Shuffle time.
I'm going to give this either... This is either a 4 or a 6, weirdly enough. I'm going to give it a 4.
Yeah.
Because it is insane. Like, this is definitely memorable, but for reasons, structurally weird. You know what I mean? Like, it's just put together all kind of goofy. Like, I know, like,
I know that something like title card seems like a very small thing, but think of how many movies you've seen in your life and how many of them have title cards and what kind of movies they are. And they're not just weird domestic thrillers.
Well, it's funny because the most recent one I've seen is Furiosa, but Furiosa is like, it's structured as like an epic and it works. Like that's the way, like it's, that's how it's supposed to be. It's like a
also
fable.
Kind of the same plot.
Yeah, kind of.
Basically.
Have you seen Furiosa yet, Sean?
Not yet, no.
Oh, you gotta see it.
But you can, you can guess.
Yeah, I get it.
If you don't like it, I'll be shocked.
It's a very A to B movie, but like, it just takes it's soggy middle, Jesus Christ, like literally.
It's an A to B movie, but somehow 4, 5, and 6 are in the middle of that somehow. Like, wait a second, like,
fucking like, it's like, there's inciting incident, and then nothing happens for, I don't know, an hour and a half, and then she fucking Hans Gruber's the guy. She kills him like fucking the comedian gets killed in Watchmen. Like it's very violent. Like, but also like the worst like little kid plan. Like I'm gonna make it look like self defense by breaking into his house and disabling all the electronics and setting him up with another cop and then attacking him when he's done fucking. Like, and then people will think that I flew across the country for this guy that I've told the police that I'm vaguely afraid of, or my friend is afraid of.
Oh, and wait, I forgot. I forgot. Sorry. Because this made an impression on me, but obviously not enough to remember during the synopsis, because you said cop. At some point, Jennifer Lopez goes to the police, and she goes to the front desk from Terminator, and she's like, hey, I have this friend whose husband beats him. What are your thoughts? And not only did the guy just say, he could have just been like, well, tell her to come talk to us. He, like, knew chapter and verse all of law. And I'm like, no one has ever been this well-informed in a police precinct in the history of police, let alone like just the schlub who's like doing booking. Like,
ma'am, what's your friend's name? It's a Joey Junior Shabadoo.
It's the stupidest name I've ever heard.
Oh, come back, Joey
Jojo, come back.
No, this movie is fucking just, anyway. It's like so nanners, but it also is like the most boring and like basic, like Hallmark level script ever. Like, I don't know how it works. It's a 4, I guess. I was very intensely bored, but also very glued to watching it. So if, I don't know. Take that as you will. TJ.
I'm with you, man. It's like a 3 or a 4. Like, it's really bad, but it's like funny bad. And like, also, we didn't mention it, but like the daughter, the kid actress in this movie is insufferable.
Sucks.
She's so bad. But like everybody's bad. Like Jennifer Lopez is terrible. Like she's really bad. But like again, the like dialogue is like very odd in this movie, and the way it's shot is odd because it's so flat and boring. But then you got the title cards. Like it's. It's boring in an interesting way.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to
boring, at least be confusing.
Right. Mm. I mean, it is something else. I mean, it is terrible, but there is something to it. I won't forget this movie. I mean, it's a movie that, like, I can't.
It's just enough.
Right. Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that's it's for me, dog. Gogs.
Yeah, it's also 4. It's, I think it suffers.
Yes.
That's it.
So did we.
No, I think it would have done better with an R rating. The fact that they had to keep it PG-13, I think keeps it real boring. Like it could have been less boring and more more compelling and edgy, like if it was an R, but it's like, it's very safe.
Oh, and like, it's, what's that movie with Jodie Foster where she gets mugged and then she freaks out and becomes like fucking Dirty Harry?
What is that movie called?
Contact?
No. Yes, Contact. I think it's called like the Brave One.
It's the Brave One. Oh, yeah, it's the Brave One. Yeah, like this is just like, I don't know. It's very safe and like it's very like the bad guy could not be more like mustache twirlingly bad. Like he's so arch.
He's fucking like, hilarious.
It's just like trash. It's like not cinema and
not Kino.
The not cinema collection.
It's like just like, I mean, it's a movie that like kind of like what we were talking about earlier. It's a movie that someone would see and go, man, that really had a message. I'm like, did it? Calling it a Lifetime movie is accurate.
Yeah, I can imagine the promotion around this movie was in like just the worst, right? Like,
well, it was just all trading. It's trading off Jennifer Lopez fame of the early 2000s. Like, this is Jenny from the Block. Like, there's no like.
This is back when she was getting her orange drink at the bodega.
And getting booed for saying the N-word. Like, you remember how adorable people were when they thought she had a big ass? And she, we had no idea, like, Megan Thee Stallion.
No, we didn't know how far this thing could go.
Yeah. We didn't know. We were
technology
very
has outpaced every other form of technology.
Like, I'm looking at else, like, what else this fella, this guy, his name is Michael Apted. Was the director.
Michael Acton. Oh.
Nice. He has done nothing good. He's dead now, thank God. But
finally.
He had enough.
He did three episodes of Rome.
I love that show.
Oh, he did The World Is Not Enough, and then he did enough.
Oh my God. The World Is Not Enough? Oh, that's fucking hilarious.
What a dyad.
Bro, that rules.
Oh, my God.
The Enough duology.
Maybe he thought directed Enough was a James Bond movie when he signed on.
Oh, yeah. He's like, where's the British guy? He's like, who's this lady?
That's hilarious. That's so funny.
He directed Nell.
J-Lo. I thought it was J-Bo. Oh, Nell's a movie we're going to have to watch at some point, too.
He also Nell directed, like, a deaf girl or something?
No, yeah, she was, like, raised by trees, and she speaks her own, like, weird language.
She's New York.
Yeah. And then he directed Gorillas in the Mist with Sigourney Weaver, where she bangs those apes.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's not the plot of that movie.
I've never seen it.
No, Dogs is right. That's how we got AIDS.
This guy's got a real strange, like, strange filmography. Like, he's just like, whatever's available, just give it to me. Like, he must be on, like,
well, he isn't dead. He is dead.
Yeah, but we can speak ill of him. Like, he is just probably on what was
one
the
of God's of
red
own powerful mutants.
Yeah, what was that thing that up. What's the thing that wasn't Reddit that was the personal ads back in the internet back in the day?
Craigslist?
Yeah, he was like on Craigslist and just looking for just chances to direct movies.
What a
weirdly
clumsy and strange analogy you made, but I'm here for it.
I appreciate that.
I have this shit really bad. So what are we watching next week?
I'm gonna pick another Puerto Rican lady with Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson banger. I'm gonna pick Money Train. I was gonna pick The Cell, but I feel like I wouldn't like it very much. So we'll see. We'll see.
Bad
dynamic.
The Cell?
I haven't seen it in so long. I'm afraid it's not going to be very good.
I've rewatched it recently. It's good. I mean,
did Immortals Guy direct that?
Yeah. That's why it's good. It's one of those things where it's just like the rest of his movies. Like, the screenplay is perfectly cromulent, but his visuals, like, make it awesome. But yeah, okay. So we're going to watch Money Train. All right.
Money Train.
Then we can have all our money transportation movies wrapped up too.
I need a money boat.
Oh God, money plane. If you want to bet on a guy fucking an alligator.
Yeah, I'm the Rumble.
His name is the Rumble.
His name is the Rumble.
You know, conservatives get all mad with pronouns, but they're perfectly fine with calling a guy the Rumble.
Right?
Or the Edge.
You are a homeless guy eating a bucket of nails. Welcome to Money Plane.
How do we bet on that? Shut up. That's how.
Shut up.
Money Plane was better than Enough, though. It was funnier.
I mean, Money Plane was something. It was
I'm down with Money Plane. All right, boys.
All right. All right. See y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.